significant about Acts chapter number 2. What do we see happen there? Pentecost. And Pentecost was the start of what? The local church. Tonight, as we are thanking the Lord, I just want to speak just for a few moments of something unique that we see about the church, something really that relates even to tonight. We're just going to look at the last several verses of Acts chapter number 2. I begin reading in verse number 42, and listen to what God's word says. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I find this significant because, as yes, this is the day of Pentecost, this is also the beginning of the church. It's where we see it starting, and there's several things here that I think we should highlight, and these are things that we look forward to in our own church, that we desire in our own church. And notice with me, in just this short amount of time, several things we see. First, I want to point out about four things that we see in verse 42 alone, probably one that's often looked at. We see first this church, they were devoted themselves, it says, to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to doctrine. They were devoted to God's word. The local church, this is at Jerusalem, they were constantly devoted to learning, constantly devoted to the doctrine and the teaching. As God had commissioned the apostles, they were, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were instructing the church and teaching the church. And that is a testimony, that is something that we need in our churches. And, you know, I am thankful, as even Carol was sharing, that we have godly teachers here, that we have a church that wants to be in the Word and challenges one another in the Word. We will never learn to understand ourselves or the world around us or the society unless we understand God's Word. I believe that was especially relevant earlier this year as we end on Sunday nights. We had looked through the topic of the image of man and how that is such an issue today, but God's word spoke on it. So we should be constantly reading our Bible, constantly have a taste for doctrine, because doctrine is quite simply is exactly what God wants us to know. Truth that we need to know, truth about himself, about his plans, about his will for us. And unless we are in God's word, it is impossible to know what God expects of us. And so we see they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and they were devoted to God's word. It also then adds in verse 42, and the fellowship. The word fellowship means a holding of things together. It is a sharing together. These new Christians began to know each other, to love each other. It was a sense of community. Here was 3,000 people and more, as it was saying, there are souls added day by day, but over 3,000 people who were strangers. They were from all over the known world or the area that gathered there in Jerusalem. They didn't know each other, but they had a bond in Christ. Church, we come from different places. You guys know me. I'm a Buckeye, and yet you accept me. Some of you are from elsewhere, and how God brings us together from different backgrounds and to love one another, to pray for one another, to bear one another's burdens, to meet one another's physical and spiritual needs. This was a sense of community, which we still should have in church. It also says in verse 42 that to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, this is really undoubtedly in reference to the Lord's table, communion. But these early Christians, they would do so as they would gather together. I believe they were doing it, if not daily, they were doing it every week there. But they were partaking of communion together at the Lord's table. You see, part of their fellowship, part of their time together was done to remember Christ, was done in worship. I think that is so important that we do things together as a church that also lift up God. That's one of the things we're doing tonight. Yes, we're going to have pie, but we're also doing it centered around God. It also tells us in verse 42, it says they're also devoted. It says, and the prayers. This is a praying church. A praying church is a productive church. A praying church is a growing church. Apparently, a prayer life was so important to these Christians that when they met, they were devoted to prayer. We need to be a church that is devoted to prayer. But then the following verses after it is really where we start to see then what is the result of those four things they were doing. All right? What happened is they were devoted to doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Here are the things that had happened. In verse 43, we see this demonstration. It says, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. The church, they, by doing all this, they were just in awe of what God was doing. Yes, there was these signs and wonders, so there would have been healings, there would have been tongues, there was all this going on. But what they were seeing was God was working. In the midst of this church, as they were devoted to God, God was working among them, and they could see it and they could notice it. And we may not have such these demonstrable gifts. We may not see somebody up here speaking in tongues or see somebody all of a sudden going and boom, they're healed. But we still see God working in wonderful ways. Well, we even heard that in tonight in some of these requests and how God answered prayer and how God has worked in our lives. And so we see this demonstration. We also see some unification in the church. Look at verse 44. It says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And here was a church that was united. They had one heart. They had one mind. They had one soul. They were together. And they were joined in such a bond of Christian love and unity. Their aim in life was to glorify God and to serve Jesus Christ. And so they were together. Oh, that our churches, not just ours, but churches around, would be unified with purpose, unified in glorifying Christ. But then we see how did they saw this demonstration of what God was doing. They were unified together. But the second half of verse 44 and into 45 tells us how they participated together. It says they had all things in common and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds to all as any had need. These Christians, they loved each other so much that they were working together to help one another. As they were physical needs, they were willing to depart with material goods to help one another. As we would know, if we would go through this book, the early church had some difficult times. Persecution primarily from the Jewish community, the religious establishment. They didn't have much money. There was a lot as they were in an area that wasn't home, and they had great needs. Later on in Acts chapter 4, in verse 34 and 35, it says this. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. And you see, the scriptures and what it's sharing with us is as a need arose, the church said, let us help one another. They were participating together. The scriptures don't say that all Christians in Jerusalem sold everything and put it into a common treasury. It's not communism. And notice it says, as the need arose. When there were needs, they did everything they could to help meet the need. It just taught that these early Christians cared for one another. They loved one another. They were working together as a family. And this verse also, it doesn't teach us that it's our responsibility as Christians to take care of the needs of all the poor and all the needy in our community and world. Instead, it tells us that we are to meet the needs of one another. our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to help where we can. So they participated together. And secondly, they adapted together. Look at verse 46. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. You see, they were able to adapt. Things would change. The early church, they had to be flexible. They attended the temple whenever they could, but there were times, obviously, as the church was big and growing, they had to go and meet in homes. They had to not always be in such a large group. So sometimes it was in a large group, sometimes it was in a small group. Whatever it was, there was some flexibility, some able to adapt to what was needed. Churches, our church is over 100 years old, I imagine our church has changed a lot over the years. Hopefully a lot of good ways over the years. If we'd go back of our history, there's probably things that we'd be ashamed of today. But we adapt and we learn and we grow together, not being afraid of change. But it's really these last few ones, especially this next one, that I think is really relevant for today. In verse 47, we see their adoration. It says, praising God. What did they do as they were in God's word? As they were gathering together and they were breaking bread and they were fellowshipping together, they were praying together, it resulted in praising God. These other things are very good that we've been talking about, how they're willing to adapt, they're willing to, they're in awe of what God is doing, they're united together. But what we see here is one of the main results is that they praise God. They were so occupied with what God was doing that they were a praising people. God was at work. And God was being glorified in the midst of them. They are worshiping him. They're praising him for his faithfulness, for his greatness. In the midst of everything going on, the result of everything is that they are praising God. Just like we are doing tonight. We praise God for how he works in our homes. Works to reach people with the gospel, works in his word to reach us in just the right time and just the right way. And that we know we have a God who listens to us. Well, there's two more things we see happening in verse 47. It says then, and having favor with all people. They were not only happy and praising God people, but they had such a testimony about them that the community looked favorably on them. Oh, that wouldn't our community look favorably on us. It just spoke to my heart when we had our full outreach and we invited the community. And there was a family who had brought other family and they said, we brought them because we said this was a loving church. This was a good church. How many of the Good News Club parents, I just get to sit down, or not sit, I'm walking, but I get to talk with them in the car line. I'm not the one primarily working with the kids. Others are, and the parents are saying how much their kids just love this. Having a good testimony in the community, I think, is a result of people who love God's word, people who pray, people who love to be together, and others see it. It doesn't mean that every single person loved them. They were obviously persecuted by religious leaders in Jerusalem, but they did find a favor overall with people in general. When people see a church that is doing right, that love one another, that love God and his word, it's going to show in the community. And what did God do? And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. God was working in the church. He was reaching souls. He was saving men and women and adding them to the church. Friends, if our church is going to grow, this is the kind of church we need to be. A church that is committed to God's word. A church that loves one another and we gather together around Christ. And a church that prays. Today we give thanks to God. And while this is often the time of year we do it, we have every reason to praise God throughout the year and what he is doing. Let's be a church that God had showed us the first church was. Will you pray with me? Lord, today we come and we gather to praise you. Spend time in your word and worship you. Lord, we also are gathering like the early church did in fellowship with one another. Lord, would you help us to grow? Yes, physically in numbers, Lord, but grow in the knowledge of your word. Grow as a family together in love and harmony and unity. Grow in our understanding of your word and how to live right before you. Lord, tonight our hearts are filled with thankfulness and praise and worship. You are worthy of this all and so much more. Lord, thank you for this family. And thank you that you are a God that is worthy of all praise. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jeff, would you lead us in one more song this evening before we go down for pie? My heart is filled with thankfulness.